Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and National Society of Film Critics, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly, The Film, 28 Years Later, The Bone Temple, and the Academy Award nominations.
I want to say a few things about the Academy Award nominations that have just been announced. First of all, I'd like to talk about a new movie which is out, which I think is a reasonably good film, and it's playing everywhere, and I think people are really interested in it. And it is the latest movie in the 28 Years Later franchise. This is the fourth film, and it was not directed by Danny Boyle like a couple of the earlier ones. It was directed by Nia DaCosta, and it's called 28 Years Later, The Bone Temple. So that sounds pretty ominous, and sure, this is a fairly ominous film, like all of the movies in the 28 years, 28 days, 28 weeks, etc. cycle. It's a horror movie, and it stars, interestingly, Ralph Fiennes. Now, he's not the only star. Jack O'Connell has a very, very big role in the thing. Alfie Williams has a pretty big role. You know, there's various people who have important roles in the film, but Ralph Fiennes is, for me at least, certainly the most striking one, and I have to say, he is a very versatile actor. Just a few years ago, I saw him in a play in New York where he played the notorious city planner, Robert Moses, a play by David Hare called Straight Line Crazy. And Ralph Fiennes was really good, and he had to do something really challenging that evening, which is that somebody in the audience got sick, and they had to stop the performance, haul that person out. I hope the person was okay. And then Ralph Fiennes had to pick up where he left off, as did the rest of the cast, which was very small. And he just really did such a splendid job of that. And he's played in all kinds of movies. He started out as a Shakespeare actor. And anyway, he can really do a horror movie. Now, he plays the good guy in this horror movie. So maybe that explains some of it. He's not playing a monster or something like that. But he's really good. And the movie itself isn't bad. So the whole premise of the 28 Years Later franchise, as I'll call it, is that this virus got accidentally unleashed into the world, which causes pure, unmitigated, unthinking rage in anybody who contracts the virus. And what happens is that England gets totally destroyed by this and gets returned to a feral society, not a society at all. And there's just horror, and all you can do is try to protect yourself from the infected people and so forth and so on. So it's a movie that has a lot to do with, oh, let's say 21st century anxieties, even though the franchise started way back in the 20th century. And so what we have now in this movie is a film where we have one of the survivors, Dr. Kelson, played by Ralph Fiennes, who has set up this bone temple, which is an ossuary, a collection of bones stretching up into the sky and all these pillars made out of human bones, which he has set up as a memorial to all the people who died. And I think as a sign of his own hope for the future of somehow getting beyond all this and maybe somehow rising above the horrors that the earth has been subject to. So he's one of the main characters. Now, also in the movie, a band of roving infected people, actually they're not infected, but they're totally turned into worse than barbarians, absolute savages. And what they do is they roam from place to place, finding survivors and torturing and killing them. So that's what's going on there. And then, of course, eventually their roving band comes into contact with Dr. Kelson, who is a good guy, who is a medical doctor who has been trying to find something that might somehow mitigate this horrible plague, and who himself has now recently adopted one of the infected people and somehow tamed him at least a little bit. And so the two of them are living together. So you have these different sort of plot strands coming together. The movie is mildly complex in its plotting. So again, we have the good Dr. Kelson, who's been trying for years to find some way to maybe mitigate the plague. We have the savage who he has adopted, who is set somehow now at least temporarily tame. And we have this roving band of psychopaths who are torturing and murdering people, and they all come together in the great sort of later part of the movie. So what the movie does is, and this is now the plan of the whole film, it alternates between scenes of absolutely horrifying evil violence and torture and murder. That's on one hand, the movie really delivers for horror fans who like that sort of thing. And on the other hand, quiet, serious, thoughtful scenes with Dr. Kelsen and his adopted infected person and what he's trying to do to somehow maybe find a way out of this plague that will maybe help humanity in the future. So I really liked the quiet parts of the movie. I found that the scenes of mindless, brainless violence were well enough done technically, but they didn't interest me at all. But it's a mildly interesting horror movie. So in all, the 28 years later franchise continues, and it still is fairly worthy. It still can come up with at least mildly interesting work from time to time. So 28 years later, as I so often say, it ain't no great movie, it ain't no great horror movie, but it's a good one. And I'm happy to see it here as one of the first films in the new year. And my little list that I compile of movies that I've just seen, this is the first one that actually has the date of 2026. So it's out there. And again, if you don't like the kind of horror movie that's really horrific, then stay away. But if that's what you want, definitely go to see it. And if that's okay with you, the movie is well worth seeing for those thoughtful, conversational scenes that pepper the movie throughout. So, interesting movie 28 years later, The Bone Temple. And now to turn to the Oscar nominations. Now, I always have to start this with my caveat. I don't take the Academy Award nominations seriously. I think in a way they're hazardous to our cultural health. I don't think that art or culture really should be a matter of contests and competitions. For many years, I was on the selection committee of the New York Film Festival at Lincoln Center, and we did not give prizes. And I think that's one of the best things about the New York Film Festival and a few other festivals. It just doesn't make sense to turn things that are supposed to make us think, at least at their best they do that, into a matter of contests and prizes. But the Academy Awards have been with us for many, many years, and a lot of people do take them seriously. And, if nothing else, it's a sign of respect within the film industry, at least. I noticed in the New York Times immediate report of the nominations, one of the first things it mentions is that Sinners has gotten the most, not only the most Academy Award nominations this year, but the most any film has ever gotten in the whole history of the Academy Awards. 16 nominations, but immediately the New York Times throws in, it sold $368 million in tickets. So yeah, you know, financial success has a lot to do with this, but it's not everything. And quite a number of the other films that have been nominated for Best Picture or for other major awards have not been huge, gigantic box office profit makers. So at least we have that to comfort us. So what do I think in my own incredibly opinionated way about the Academy Award nominations for this year? Well, let us turn to Best Picture. First of all, I think that if any movie has to get the most Academy Award nominations ever, and again, Sinners has 16 of them, and the previous winners, the previous record holders, only had 14. So Sinners has beat them by two. That's really something. I'll mention that those earlier movies that received the previous record holders tied with 14 each are La La Land, which is a movie that does not interest me at all, Titanic, which is a good movie, and All About Eve, which is a very, very good movie, but also from many decades ago. So now, anyway, Sinners is the new standard bearer, the new record holder. And here's the news for me. I think Sinners is a good movie. In fact, I think it's a very good movie. It's not one of the very best movies of the past year, but it's a good movie. And I'm perfectly happy if that one has all of these Academy Award nominations. Okay with me. And I recommend anybody who has not seen Sinners, go see it. It's a very intelligent and thoughtful movie that very much deals with traditional Black culture in America. And it has a lot of good music in it, too. So it's a good movie. Now, the other movie with the most Oscar nominations for this past year is One Battle After Another. And here I am an outlier. I not only disagree with the Oscars on this one, I disagree with the great majority of my fellow critics who think that One Battle After Another is a terrific movie. I don't. I think it's a noisy, big mess. And it reminds me a little bit, it's a very different kind of film, but it reminds me of another recent big Oscar winner and big financial success, Everything Everywhere All at Once, which I also think was just a lot of sound and fury with almost nothing actually going on inside it. I'll say the same thing for One Battle After Another. I like quite a number of Paul Thomas Anderson's movies, but One Battle After Another does not please me. So I'm happy about Sinners. I'm not happy about One Battle After Another. If anybody sees these big Oscar nomination rack-ups and says, I want to go see one of these movies, by all means, choose Sinners. Don't choose One Battle After Another. It is one of the most overrated movies of the past year, and in fact, in recent memory. Now, other movies nominated for Best Picture. I'm glad to see Sentimental Value on the list, the latest film by Joachim Trier. I don't think it's a great movie, but it's a very good, thoughtful, introspective drama about family and friendship and things like this. It's a very good movie. So I'm very, very happy to see that nominated for Best Picture, even though it didn't have this huge number of wins. Now, I can like big spectacular movies too, like everybody else, and I'm very glad to see Frankenstein, the new movie by Guillermo del Toro, on the Best Picture list of nominees. It's a really good film. In fact, it's one of my absolute favorites out of all of the Best Picture nominees. It's beautiful to look at. It's expansive. It's ambitious. It's a great retelling of the old Frankenstein story, but with really a lot of new material. And also it holds up the great tradition of what I'll call the Frankenstein franchise. So I'm very, very pleased to see that Frankenstein was nominated for Best Picture. It may be more because it's spectacular than because it's really excellent cinema. But to my mind, it is excellent cinema. And I totally recommend that for anybody. And by the way, as a horror movie, it's a lot more moderate than 28 years later, The Bone Temple, in its violence and so forth. So there that is. A couple of movies which I consider very overrated are also in the Best Picture nominee list. Begonia is one of those. It just did not connect with me. Marty Supreme, another one of the most totally overrated movies of the past year. The Secret Agent, which is a thoughtful international release, but it just didn't click with me. A lot of people love it. I respect it, but I really did not have a very good time watching it. I'm going to mention one other Best Picture nominee, which I think has no chance of winning because it's just too small, too quiet, too introspective, and that is Train Dreams. It is a lovely film, and I totally recommend it. So I'm really, really happy to see that one on the list of nominees. And then you have Hamnet, which is a nice little movie, I think very overrated, and I think the last 5 minutes are positively awful. And then you have F1, which is a great big star-driven, action-driven extravaganza, and that's the kind of movie I expect to see on this sort of list, and I'm not going to complain about it. But mostly I will say, stay away from the most overrated pictures on the Best Picture nominee list. Stay away from Begonia. Stay away from Hamlet. Definitely stay away from Marty Supreme or One Battle After Another. And I'm glad to see movies like Frankenstein on here. And again, it's just fine with me that Sinners has got this huge number of nominations, and I wouldn't be surprised to see one of them win Best Picture. When we turn to Best Director, which I just want to mention briefly here, because that's also a very, very important category, and one would generally expect the movie that wins Best Picture to get Best Director, but that often does not happen. So what we have here is, wouldn't you know, Josh Safdie, usually a very good filmmaker, nominated for his, in my opinion, wildly overrated Marty Supreme. We have Paul Thomas Anderson, often a good filmmaker, getting nominated for his wildly overrated One Battle After Another. But we do have Joachim Trier getting nominated for Sentimental Value. That's good. We have Chloe Zhao getting nominated for Hamnet, which at least is a quiet, thoughtful movie. And hey, at least it's about Shakespeare. Even if I don't think it's all that good a movie, at least, you know, it's ambitious and thoughtful. I'll give it credit for that. And we have Ryan Coogler with Sinners. Well, out of the things that have been nominated, which aren't necessarily my choices, I really hope that Sinners has, if any of those big movies has to win Best Picture, I hope it is Sinners. And I really hope that Ryan Coogler wins the Academy Award for Best Director for Sinners, because out of the movies, the five movies that have been nominated for Best Director, it is simply the best movie. It would be refreshing to see Joachim Trier get nominated for Sentimental Value, but I don't expect that will happen. Other categories are here too for Best Cinematography. I would totally go for Frankenstein, but I'm afraid that something flashier will win, like say Marty Supreme or one battle after another. It's just not that interestingly photographed at all. And then there's all kinds of other categories that I really just don't have time to get into, and we'll see what ends up happening. I was happy to see Blue Moon get nominated in some categories, such as Best Actor and Best Original Screenplay. It's not a great movie, but it's a very, very nice and thoughtful little movie. So, you know, that's nice. And also, I'll mention for Best Actor, Michael B. Jordan is very, very good in a dual role in Sinners. So that would be fine with me, too. Okay, those are my opinions about the whole thing. For me, I will be rooting for movies like Frankenstein and Sinners out of this list. My hopes are not up too high, though. I'm afraid that one of the great big flashy things like Marty Supreme or One Battle After Another will win on the strength of sheer flashiness. But, well, as we sometimes say in this business, we'll see what happens. So that is my somewhat Academy Award-oriented story this week.
For which we thank you, as ever and always, David Starrett, Films in Focus. The film, 28 Years Later, The Bone Temple, and the Academy Award nominations.
Films in Focus with David Starrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera National Theater Live and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.